Welcome to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. I'm Sarah of the blog Sarah's Bookshelves. Each week, I'm talking with one bookish guest about two old books they love, two new books they love, one book they don't love, and one new release they're excited about. We're going to get real and sometimes a little bit snarky about all things books. This is a brand new podcast, so if you like it, I'd really love your support. Please spread the word to your reader friends, subscribe to the show, and rate and review it wherever you listen to podcasts. Rating, reviewing, and subscribing really helps new listeners find us. Let's get rolling. Welcome to our second special episode, the 2019 Spring Book Preview. And back when we launched this podcast, I told y'all that every now and then I would do special episodes that depart from our regular format, and this is one of those. So Catherine from the blog Gilmore Guide to Books, who joined me back in January for the winter book preview, is back again, and she is going to help me highlight the books coming out in April and May that we are most excited about. And I should warn you that Catherine and I can tend to get a little bit snarky, especially together. So get ready for that. It might be going in that direction. Welcome back, Catherine.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me back.
I love recording these episodes with you.
It is. It's fun chatting. And as you said, there's going to be some snark.
Totally. So before we get into spring books, and this could be totally to our detriment, it might make you trust us less, but we're going to do it anyway. Just in the spirit of total transparency, which I always try to provide on the blog.
That's right.
And on the podcast, we are going to share how successful we were with the books that we picked for our winter book preview episode. And as I told you back on that episode, if you were listening back then, we had not actually read any of those books. We were just picking books that we were excited to read once they came out or once we got to them. So even after hearing our success rates, I hope you'll still listen to this episode. I will share mine first. My success rate, and by success, I mean the number of books that I shared on the winter preview that I ended up liking. I categorized liking as a 3.5 star rating or above. I also have not read one of the books that I shared back in January yet, because I'm planning to listen to it on audio and it just came out. And that is So Here's the Thing by Alyssa Mastromonaco. And I'm going to be listening to it soon. So stay tuned on the blog if you want to hear my thoughts on that one once I get to it. Anyway, dun dun dun, right? Here's my number. 44% success rate.
Oh, okay.
I'm cringing in my chair.
Yeah, well, I'll be cringing more than you. So oh, okay. Keep going, sister.
All right, now I feel better.
Mine was 33%.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Okay. My three favorite books of the past couple months were all books that came to me after we recorded our preview episode. So they weren't on it.
Mine was the exact same way.
Okay. So we're each going to share our best book and our worst book from the January preview episode. And then we can talk about our couple favorites from the past couple months too that were not on the preview episode. So my best was The Care and Feeding of Ravenously Hungry Girls by Anissa Gray. And I'm hoping the fact that that was my favorite book makes up for my overall 44% success rate, because it was also the book that I chose as my number one pick.
Got it.
What about you? What was your best?
Well, here's the thing. I'm hoping I haven't read it yet.
Oh, interesting. Is there a specific book you're thinking about?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. It was The Other Americans by Leila Lalami.
Yep.
And it doesn't come out until March 26th. And as you know, I tend to read closer to the release date.
Yes.
But I'm a little concerned because from our winter picks, 9 of my favorite author picks were not great. And I chose this book because she's an author I really, really like. I'm just hoping that the beauty of her writing, which is what I loved about her debut, The Moore's Account, I'm hoping that the writing will pull through for me.
So that's interesting. You were let down by trusted authors.
I was, and I really don't want to rail on them, but seriously, guys, you let me down. I am almost betrayed by some of them.
Were a lot of them sophomore novels or not even?
It was a blend. 2 or 3 were sophomore.
Which are always risky.
Right, absolutely.
After a big debut.
Yep, that sophomore slump. But the worst of the worst when we get to it was an author I have been reading for probably 10 years.
Oh, I know where you're going to go with this.
You do know.
And I will say that I heard the same thing from many other people.
Oh, you did? Oh, yeah. Good.
Well, not traditionally good, but... like that author.
Okay.
Before we talk too much about that without naming the author, we'll get there.
Yes.
So my worst, and I'm kind of cheating here because I actually didn't finish this book or read much of it at all because I did not finish a single book from the preview episode that I didn't like. But the book is Joy Enough by Sarah McCall. And y'all are actually going to hear about this book in a different capacity on an upcoming episode. Somebody else had a different opinion of it than I did. So you'll get both sides to the story.
Interesting.
But it was a very short memoir and it was about a woman who went home to take care of her mother who had cancer. And it was apparently beautifully written, poetic writing. I read the sample. I did not have an advanced copy of this. Annie Jones from the Front Porch podcast, who's one of my number one recommendation sources. Actually, last year she was my number one recommendation source.
Right.
I did keep numbers and data, so I can say she is the number one.
Definitively.
She loved it, and I looked at the sample, and the writing for me was almost indecipherable. It was maybe a beautiful sentence, but paired with another sentence that made no sense. Paragraphs jumped around. Everything just jumped around, and there was no cohesive narrative.
Was it like stream of consciousness? Freeform?
Yeah, it was a little bit like Department of Speculation, but way more extreme.
Okay, wow.
I can't do that right now. I've got so much going on in my life. I need a narrative to make sense, and I cannot weed through all that at the moment. So,
right.
Okay, what was your worst book?
Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm, I know. Let's let everybody else know.
Far and away, my worst choice was I Owe You One by Sophie Kinsella. Normally, her blend of sharp humor and silly fun is exactly what I want and need in my reading, but this novel read like a lot of bad stereotypes and made me ragey. I'm telling you, she's on thin ice now. I have loved her for a decade. Her books have always worked for me, and this one, I almost thought, did someone else write this? Did you not have time? Because it didn't read like the Kinsella I know.
I have a question for you. How often has she been publishing books? I have a theory that I'm going to test out with her.
Interesting. I would say yearly.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your theory?
That plays into where I was going with this. Okay. So two authors that I loved began publishing a book a year at a certain point, and then I stopped liking their books.
Yeah.
It's Beatrice Williams.
Right.
Who wrote 100 Summers, which I loved. And then after that, The Secret Life of Violet Grant and Tiny Little Things. I'm in my head saying Tiny Beautiful Thing, but that's not right. And then I did not like every book of hers after that. Then Chris Bajalian is the other one.
You know what? I'm totally with you. I used to love his books, The Double Bind,
yep.
Skeletons at the Feast.
Yep.
And then I feel like he was getting pressure to become more commercial because I didn't even read The Flight Attendant. I didn't read his last one.
That's the book that sent me over the cliff.
Really? Yep. Oh, good. Then I won't even keep it on my TBR.
He was publishing a thriller a year for the last couple years. And I liked the first two of them, which were The Guest Room, which I know a lot of people really liked.
I did like it. I liked it a lot.
And then the second one was The Sleepwalker, which I liked. Not as much as The Guest Room, but I did like it.
Right.
And then The Flight Attendant was the third one, and I did not. It felt mailed in.
I agree with you 100% on that one.
Okay, so I want to leave this on a positive note. I'm not going to talk about these books. I'm just going to run through them in list form. My three big winners from the past couple months, meaning Q1, I hesitate to use the term quarters because I come from a business background and we always talked in quarters like Q1, Q2. But I realize in the real world, and especially in the book world, that's not really a thing.
Right.
So I divide my previews up into quarters of the year, but that may not resonate with everybody. Anyway, so my three big books for January, February, and March were Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which I just read, and it will
yes.
take me a while to recover from it. It was so very good. it blew me away. I was skeptical going into it because I don't care about the music scene. I'm not particularly into the 70s, but I loved it. And the second one is The Last Romantics by Tara Conklin, which is a dysfunctional family story. That was also 5 stars. And then the third one is The Age of Light by Whitney Sherer, which is a debut novel in historical fiction, which y'all know me, I don't read a ton of historical fiction. However, I know from my reader survey I just recently did that many of my blog readers do read a lot of historical fiction.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So The Age of Light was recommended by Georgia Hunter on episode 1 of the podcast.
Oh, great. Well, I'm on the same page with you. Daisy Jones.
Yep.
Absolutely loved that book. That was a 5-star for me. Actually, the other two were kind of backlist. The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle.
Yeah.
Which was just a really bizarre, quirky, fabulous mystery. I adored it. Another 5 stars for me. And my third favorite was The Deeper the Water, The Uglier the Fish, which was recommended to me by Susie at Novel Visits. It's really beautifully done. And again, another 5 stars. So in less than a month, I had 3 5-star books.
Good for you.
Just not the books I chose.
Well, let's hope that our spring books are better. All right. On that note, let's move into spring books. So here's how we'll do this. Catherine and I each chose 4 books per month, and by month, meaning for April and for May, that we are looking forward to. And we'll share these chronologically by publication date. And unless otherwise noted, we have not read these books yet. And Catherine, I'm calling an audible real fast.
Oh, okay.
Catherine does not even know that I'm calling this audible because literally it happened right before I picked up the phone to call you.
Okay.
So I just saw Tara from the blog Running and Reading, who was on an earlier episode of the podcast. I just saw on her Instagram stories that Brian Panowich, who wrote Bull Mountain a couple years ago, it was like a sort of mountain grit-lit style thriller that I loved. He is coming out with a sequel to Bull Mountain on April 30th. It's called Like Lions, and I don't know much about it because I literally just found out about it. I haven't done any research on it, but I did download it from Edelweiss, and hopefully that will be another winner, and that does not count as one of my 4 books, but I just had to mention it.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I didn't read it, so I'm not familiar with him.
I don't know if you would love that, actually.
Is it anything like The Line That Held Us? That was pretty gritty.
Similar.
Southern.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little bit more thrillery and fast paced.
Oh, with that caveat, that's a good thing that I can add to my list when I need that kind of reading.
Yes. And it's a thriller that is not psychological and domestic, which I know are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And also, have you ever read Greg Iles?
No, but I know people who love him.
He wrote Natchez Burning and that whole series.
Yes, my mother reads him and
okay.
loves him.
So I feel like Bull Mountain was kind of similar to Natchez Burning.
Okay.
Okay, let's get started on April books. I'm going to start with my first book, which is called I'm Fine and Neither Are You. And it's by Camille Pagan. And it's coming out April 1st. And this is a brain candy pick. And it's from an author who is one of my go-to authors for lighter fiction, beach reads, that kind of stuff. So quick plot. Penelope and Jenny are best friends, and they are married and have kids and that kind of age group. While Jenny's life seems completely perfect and easily perfect, Penelope is struggling to keep her head above water. She's got a lot of balls in the air. Then a shocking tragedy happens that exposes Jenny's life to be quite different than it appears.
Ooh, that's intriguing.
I love her writing because she writes about serious topics that I can relate to, but in a very lighthearted, easy way. That's what I look for in my brain candy.
Mm-hmm.
And Ashley Spivey, who also was on a previous episode of the podcast, actually first turned me on to this author. And something that Camille Pagan did in one of her earlier novels called Forever is the Worst Long Time, she takes a well-known trope and does it completely differently than anything I've ever seen before. And so I'm hoping that she will do that with the familiar trope of women keeping all the balls in the air in middle age.
The whole, yeah, you can have everything.
You can have it all.
And do it all.
Right, which is, I think, a total myth. But
I agree.
So what is your first April pick?
My first pick is The Spectators by Jennifer Dubois. and that's coming out on April 2nd. Her debut, this is a sophomore novel, so I'm obviously it's a little bit risky. Her first book was called Cartwheel, and it was her take on the Amanda Knox story.
Ooh.
Do you remember her? Yeah, the American student accused
yes.
of murder in Italy, all that.
That sounds fascinating.
Yeah. This new novel is about the influence of inflammatory talk shows on, I guess you would say, susceptible people.
Oh.
And in this case, it's about two teens who are fans of a trash talk show.
Like Jerry Springer?
Yeah. And go on to commit a mass shooting at their school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But the novel focuses on the host, who has always been very private, but is now personally in the spotlight. It is like Jerry Springer, where we don't know much about him personally. I think it's also based a bit on the Jenny Jones.
Yeah.
Do you remember her talk show?
Uh-huh.
Okay, where that blew up. So I feel as if this could be a book that sparks a lot of discussion,
yep.
which I always really enjoy.
This sounds interesting to me. It also sounds like it has an element of commentary on the media, reminiscent
Absolutely.
Of maybe Before the Fall by Noah Hawley.
Right.
All right. So that is The Spectators by Jennifer Dubois. And what is the publication date on that?
April 2nd, and it's Random House.
So my next book I have already read, so I can put my full stamp of approval on it. It's called I Miss You When I Blink by Mary Laura Philpott, and it's coming out April 2nd. April 2nd seems to be a big day. And this is a memoir / essay collection, and it's a debut. For those of you that are familiar with the Parnassus Bookstore in Nashville, which is partially owned by the author Ann Patchett, Mary Laura Philpott actually works there, partially. That's one of her jobs.
Okay.
So Ann Patchett blurbed this book and has been helping promote it, as you would expect. So basically, Mary Laura Philpott, continuing with the theme from my last pick, she seems to be similar to me in age, which is early to mid 40s. And she did everything, quote unquote, right, meaning she got the good job, she got the husband, she got the kids, they bought the house, they have their career tracks. Yet she still felt very unsettled and unsatisfied in her life. And these are essays that are about how she kind of worked through that. And a lot of what she talked about was the guilt that comes along with having what everybody would consider to be a great life. And she also thought she had a great life, but still feeling unsatisfied despite that. So aside from me, Tyler Goodson rated this book 5 stars. Annie Jones rated this book 5 stars. Ashley Spivey liked this book. So it's getting a lot of hype.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
One of the things that really turned me on to it was I saw on Mary Laura Philpott's Instagram, which is, by the way, she's hilarious on Instagram. So go follow her. But she had this quick little video that she made for her publisher that I think the publisher asked a bunch of their authors to say what your new book is about in one sentence or something like that. And here's what she said. This is the book where you feel like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? And you need to know that you're not alone.
Hello.
Which totally appeals to me.
That sounds great.
So I love these kind of life wisdom memoirs. Anna Quinlan's Lots of Candles, Plenty of Cake. Kelly Corrigan's Tell Me More. This was a bit similar to those. A bit more humorous, I think. Less poignant and more humorous, but it did still have a fair amount of poignancy. And she's candid. She's funny. She sounds like somebody I would totally be friends with in real life. She has a very type A personality and has in her entire life been motivated by getting good grades and doing the right thing. And then she goes to work and she gets her performance reviews and gets motivated by that. And it's very check the box as far as how she gets
goal oriented.
Yes. And how she gets her fulfillment. She's fulfilled
right.
by completing the task and completing it well and getting the good grade. And then when you go into real life, there's not this clear cut reward system.
Right.
So I totally related to her about that. I went through my life as a kid, like get good grades, you know, do well in my swimming races. My success was very cut and dried
mm-hmm.
on whether I knew I was successful and how I felt about it and how it made me feel. So you get into real life after that and everything's very nebulous and you don't have these reward systems. And certainly as a stay-at-home mom, you don't have these reward systems.
Right.
And she was a stay-at-home mom for a period of her life. I loved it. I think it's going to be big. I think a lot of people will relate to it.
Well, I've already added it to my TBR while you were talking. So at least one more person is going to be reading this book.
Perfect. All right. What is your next April book?
Well, I feel like you're kind of being more real world-ish, and I like that. I'm going with the darker side of the world right now.
You know I love dark, though.
Well, yeah. Well, this one sounds really dark, and they're all kind of based on true events. This is Women Talking by Marion, I'm going to say, Toews, T-O-E-W-S. It's coming out April 2nd, and it is based on real events. It's about a group of Mennonite women who band together to accuse some of the men in their community of rape.
Oof.
Right. And rape in the form of, I believe they drugged them to some degree and then told them that what they were doing is removing demons from their souls to punish them.
Ah.
But it was basically rape. I know so little about the Mennonite religion, but the synopsis about this book says these women were illiterate, they don't speak English, and they're kept in such isolation that they have no idea about the outside world. But this book is about them realizing in communicating with each other, wait, you had to have demons driven out of you? And then they band together against the men.
It sounds like it could be a good pick for fans of the recent book that came out, A Woman Is No Man by Itof Rum.
Yes, definitely.
Women who are oppressed and trying to kind of break out of the oppression that their culture is forcing upon them.
Right. And there's also the intrigue of there's so little known about Mennonites. They're so private.
Right.
Their communities are very isolated.
I do enjoy fringe religion books.
Right. That's kind of what I thought.
Scientology, Under the Banner of Heaven, with that extreme sect of Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So can you repeat the title of that? Because I've forgotten it already.
It's okay. It's Women Talking.
Okay. And that is coming out when?
April 2nd.
Perfect. My next pick is Trust Exercise by Susan Choi, and that's coming out April 9th. Finally, a book that's not coming out April 2nd. Unlike my last two picks, this is serious literary fiction, and it is a story set in the 1980s in an American suburb, and it's a campus novel. Students David and Sarah are at an elite performing arts school, and they fall in love, and then their acting teacher somehow, and I'm being purposely vague here, interferes with their relationship. So Tyler Goodson rated this book 5 stars. It's also getting a fair amount of buzz in the book world. And the bookstagrammer NYC Book Girl, if anyone has heard of her, she liked it as well. But I love a good campus novel, and I've had especially good luck with campus novels set at performing arts schools, like If We Were Villains and The Ensemble.
Oh, that's what was running through my mind, was The Ensemble.
Yep. Which is
right.
Not fully set at a school, but starts out at the school. But the overwhelming thing that I'm hearing about this book is that there is apparently an interesting structure to it. But people keep saying, go in blind. So I'm trying to not find out more about the structure.
Okay. Huh.
Just know that it's not your traditional novel, structure-wise. And I also should say that while I'm hearing some good things about it from people in the book world that I follow on Instagram and things like that, it has an alarming number of 1-star reviews on Goodreads.
Oh.
Yeah. But there's also a fair amount of 5-star reviews. So I think it's really going to be a love-hate kind of thing.
Oh, a polarizing book.
Yes. Polarizing, maybe a good book club pick, since if it's polarizing, that generally makes for some spirited discussion, right?
Right.
I know it's also getting compared to Asymmetry by Lisa Halliday, which I did not read, but it was on a lot of best books of the year lists last year.
I did. And
you did read that. Okay.
Yes.
Don't tell me the structure if that gives it away.
No, I won't. All I'll say is I did not understand it as a best book pick.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I liked parts of it, but I truly had trouble understanding how it all came together. And yes, that
sure.
had to do with the structure.
All right. Well, that's good to know. So I'm going to have to say that I'm going into this with some caution, but I'm interested to give it a try for sure.
Okay.
All right. That was Trust Exercise by Susan Choi, coming out April 9th. And Catherine, what is your next April book?
Well, I'm going on a bit of a theme here. My next book is The Ash Family by Molly Dechter, and that's also coming out April 9th. And this one ticks so many boxes for me. It's a debut, a female author. It's about Southern life, a girl coming of age, and a cult. It's about a 19-year-old girl who joins an off-the-grid community, which is very new agey, all good, until other young women in the community start disappearing.
Ooh.
Yes.
So there's a mystery element as well.
Yes, I think there is. And the synopsis I read kind of gave me the Girls vibe.
Uh-huh.
When they joined the Manson community,
yep,
kind of thing.
And that's The Girls by Emma Klein.
By Emma Klein, yes. I think it's all going to come down to the writing. If it's not done well, it's going to be too much crazy or implausible. But on the surface, this one seems like it's going to be really good reading.
I like the sound of the premise.
I know. Well, I thought, especially with you, you love books set in the South. It's set in North Carolina.
I do. I'm going to let you vet it for me.
Okay. I can do that.
So that was The Ash Family by Molly Dechter. So my final April book is another one I'm super excited about, sticking with the Southern theme. It is called Southern Lady Code by Helen Ellis, and it's coming out April 16th. And this is an essay collection. Helen Ellis, if you all remember, a couple years ago, wrote the short story collection American Housewife.
Oh.
Yeah, humorous short stories about stay-at-home moms, I guess. And that was hit or miss for me. However, I'm thinking that essays grounded in reality are going to be more hits for me from her. So obviously, the essay collection is about what you think it's about, life for Southern ladies. And there's a definition on the cover of the book that I love, and it's defining what the Southern Lady Code is. And it goes like this. A technique by which, if you don't have something nice to say, you say something not so nice in a nice way.
Love it.
Catherine, this is you and I's snarky catnip. This is right up our alleys.
Yes, absolutely.
So Tyler Goodson rated it 5 stars. I keep saying his name. I probably should tell you that he's also one of my top recommendation sources. He is the manager of the Avid Bookshop in Athens, Georgia. And he is on Instagram, and that's how I get these recommendations from him. And also Annie Jones loved it as well. But Helen Ellis is originally from Alabama and now lives in New York City. And I sort of had the same trajectory as she did, not Alabama, but I'm from the South, just not that state. And I lived in New York City for quite a while. So I like that perspective of Southern life because you are a little bit removed from it. So you have some outside perspective to then go commentate on it.
Right.
And she has been described as, and I love this too, this is hilarious, the rare essayist who can write across the foie gras and red meat divide.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't it?
That's classic.
And I read a little bit of the first essay and was dying laughing, and I wanted to put down everything else I was reading and pick it up immediately. But I think I'm going to read this when I am on spring break, because this sounds like it would be a good on the beach by the pool book.
Well, you emailed me as soon as you read the subtitle.
I did.
And I immediately requested it and got a copy. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
And she's got like an outrageous kind of inappropriate sense of humor, which that is my sense of humor, or the kind of humor that I appreciate. So if you don't like inappropriate, outrageous humor, this may not be for you. And also, you can get a good sense of it if you go check out her Instagram account at American Housewife. She has been posting all these funny quotes from Southern Lady Code for quite a while. So you can just scroll through her feed and see a lot of quotes pulled out from the book and get a sense of whether it might be something you'd like.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. You know me, I don't read much nonfiction.
No, but this is totally your kind of nonfiction.
Absolutely.
So that was Southern Lady Code by Helen Ellis, and it's coming out April 16th. All right, what is your last April book?
My last April book, my feelings about it are a bit like yours on Trust Exercise.
Gotcha. Trepidatious.
Right. Normal People by Sally Rooney, and it also comes out April 16th. And I am choosing it solely based on the recommendation of a reader I trust, and that's my friend Pam, who's the manager at the amazing University Bookstore here in Seattle. She said this book is the best she's read in a long time. Normally, that would be all I would need to hear, but I didn't like Rooney's debut, Conversations with Friends. I know a lot of people did. Did you read it, Sarah?
I did not, but I remember hearing about it. And you're right. A lot of people did, and a lot of people really loved it.
Right. And for whatever reason, I didn't finish it, and I didn't review it. And I can't find any notes about why I didn't like it. But I just, in Goodreads, I have it marked as a DNF. So I'm very cautious. This is about two friends from a small town in Ireland, and it just follows the arc of their friendship through the years and how their connection changes. It looks to be about both love. It's a young man and woman. So it's about love with also some politics, you know, being set in Ireland. That piques my interest because it makes me think of things like The Heart's Invisible Furies.
That's exactly what I thought of when you said that.
Well, when you say political and Ireland,
yep.
You know, so I am cautiously optimistic about it. And I would say if you loved her first book, then it's likely that you'll love this one as well, because Pam is really pretty finicky in her reading. So for her to tell me it's the best thing she's read in a long time, that's why I requested it immediately.
And I trust Pam too. I don't know Pam only through you, but she recommended Foe.
Yes.
By Ian Reid.
Right.
Which I loved, and I never, ever would have picked up otherwise.
Neither would I.
So I'm actually looking forward to this book as well. I have a galley of it, and I'm excited to read it. All right, so that was Normal People by Sally Rooney, and coming out
April 16th.
Perfect. All right, moving on to May. My first May book I'm super excited about. Sounds very interesting and unique. It's called Furious Hours by Casey Sepp. And it's coming out May 5th. And this is nonfiction, investigative journalism. So I didn't know this before I found this book. But apparently, after writing To Kill a Mockingbird, Harper Lee had been working on her own true crime book in the style of In Cold Blood.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Super intriguing, right?
Yes.
So the book was supposed to be about an Alabama minister who was accused of murdering five of his family members. And then all kinds of other stuff happens after that. But Casey Sepp takes the story of the Alabama minister and also the story of Harper Lee trying to write this book and tells that whole story in Furious Hours. And I love me a good true crime story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm especially looking forward to this one, especially intriguing because Harper Lee was such an enigmatic figure. She was very private. There's not much known about her life. There's not much of her stuff has been published. And Casey Sepp had access to more than 50 of Lee's unpublished letters and her research materials from the book she was writing about the murders.
Really?
And I am just thrilled that the Harper Lee estate did not take all of her research, slap it together into a book, market it as a finished book, and put Harper Lee's name on it.
Right.
I'm just glad the whole story is getting told by somebody independent. And it's being compared to Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, if y'all remember that book from a long time ago by John Berendt.
Right, right, right. My gosh, that is a long time ago.
It's an old one, but it's pretty famous. Yeah.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Also getting compared to the podcast S-Town.
I was thinking that because isn't S-Town set?
I think it's in Alabama, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
If I remember correctly, it's been a while since I listened to it, but all these things are right up my alley. And Tyler Goodson also rated it 4 stars.
Okay.
That is Furious Hours by Casey Sepp and coming out May 5th.
Well, my first May pick is actually my only nonfiction, which I love that our lists are almost complete opposites. You're largely nonfiction and I'm largely fiction.
I do have a lot of nonfiction in this episode.
You do?
Sorry about that, guys. Hope that's okay.
Oh, no, I think it's awesome. It makes it well blended.
Y'all should know, though, that Catherine rarely reads nonfiction. So if something has caught her eye, it's probably a standout. So let's hear it.
It's The Castle on Sunset by Sean Levy. It's coming out May 7th. And the subtitle for the book is Life, Death, Art, and Scandal at Hollywood's Chateau Marmont.
Oh, I need to get this one.
I know. I can safely say if I'm going to read nonfiction, you can count on it being probably
gossipy,
sleazy, or trashy and sensationalistic in some way.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I don't do mass market, I would say. But this one, for anyone who doesn't know, the Chateau Marmont is a very famous small hotel in Hollywood. It's been around for 90 years. Some of its history includes that's where John Belushi overdosed. Oh, Jim Morrison stayed there for quite a while.
Isn't it known as the place where famous people who are having some sort of scandal go to hide?
Absolutely, because it's a hotel, but I believe
there are these bungalows behind it.
Exactly. They have bungalows. So you can have complete, it's like an apartment. You can move in and no one needs to know.
And they're very discreet, apparently. They will like, or at least back in the day, I heard that they would really cover for celebrities.
Yes. And pretty much any name you can think of spent time there, from Natalie Wood, Marilyn Monroe, and hello, let's tie it back to our favorite fiction, Daisy Jones.
I was just going to go there. Yep.
Daisy stayed there for quite a while.
I was thinking about it. Yes, the fictional Daisy Jones.
That's right.
Shacked up at the Chateau Marmont for quite a while.
Everything we've just said sums up why I'm choosing this as one of my picks, because unless the writing is really bad, I'm very excited to read it.
There's no way this story can be bad, really.
I don't think so either.
And I think I might listen to this one on audio. This is right up my audio alley.
Oh, I think that could be good. Anyway, it's The Castle on Sunset by Sean Levy, and it's coming out May 7th.
Okay. My next pick is The Night Before by Wendy Walker, coming out May 14th. And this is a psychological thriller. I know everyone's so shocked to hear me talk about a psychological thriller, right? But she is one of two authors that I've ever rated 5 stars for a psychological thriller. The other one is Gillian Flynn.
Oh, well, right.
Yeah. So literally in my life, I've given 2 psychological thrillers 5-star ratings, Gone Girl and Emma in the Night by Wendy Walker, which was her second novel. So this is her 3rd novel, and it centers around 2 grown sisters, Laura and Rosie. And Laura has a checkered dating history in New York City. And she leaves New York City after the breakdown of her latest relationship. And she moves in with Rosie and her husband and her family in the Connecticut suburbs. Then she goes on a blind date with someone she met on the internet and never returns. So that's all I'm going to say about the plot. I read the Goodreads premise or the Goodreads synopsis, and there was something in there that was more than what I said. And I was kind of annoyed that I saw it. So I would suggest maybe not reading the Goodreads synopsis.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But one of my blog readers, whose taste I totally agree with, she loved this book. And Tara at Running and Reading has read it as well. So the structure, apparently, it's an alternating timeline structure, which many psychological thrillers are. And I do like that. It alternates between the night before the blind date, narrated by Laura, and then after she disappears, which is narrated by Rosie as she tries to solve the mystery and put the pieces together. There are also chapters worked in there of Laura with meeting with her therapist. And something I have noticed about my psychological thriller reading, which as you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while or read my blog for a while, you know that I'm very finicky about that genre. But something I've noticed is if there is a psychologist or a psychiatrist playing a big role in the story, I tend to like those. There is one in this one.
Okay.
So that was The Night Before by Wendy Walker, coming out May 14th. What is your next May book?
My next book, May book, is Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips, and it comes out also May 14th. And I'm heading out from America and going all the way to a small peninsula in Russia.
Ooh, very cool.
Yeah, it's another debut, so I'm excited about that. And it's about 2 young girls who are kidnapped from this kind of remote village in northeastern Russia. The novel takes place 1 chapter per month in the year after they've been gone. And the community is a very diverse community, but there's a lot of racial tension because of it. And the novel is told largely from the perspective of the women who live in the community where the girls lived. And I feel like what I'm seeing about it, it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to give me the pleasure I got from The Great Alone with how Kristen Hannah described Alaska.
Yep.
I mean, I thought the way she wrote Alaska was beautiful. Hated the novel. That part I loved. What I'm seeing is that this is going to be going everywhere from the capital city of this peninsula to very remote rural areas. And if it's well done, I do love descriptive novels about place.
One where the place sort of is its own character.
Exactly. At the same time, I feel pretty strongly what I'm hearing about it is that it's largely about the minds and hearts of these women, really going introspective, deep dive into the women in the community, which I'm always fascinated by that. I really love women's stories, especially women that are unlike any that I've ever met or will ever know.
Right.
So, yes, that's Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips, and it comes out May 14th.
Great. My next May book is called The Farm, and it's by Joanne Ramos, and it's coming out May 7th. The Farm is this luxurious retreat in the Hudson Valley where women who have been specially selected are paid handsomely to go and live and be surrogates for the wealthy clients of the farm. So the farm is the name of the book, and the farm is the name of the place too.
Okay.
And there's this sort of thing where they are trying to have the perfect baby under the perfect conditions for these wealthy clients. And then the book is about all the ethical and moral questions that inevitably stem from that. This is a risky pick for me. Nicole Bonilla from the Readerly Report podcast, who's been on my podcast a couple episodes ago, she liked it. Karen Thompson Walker, who wrote The Dreamers, has blurbed it. It sounds slightly dystopian to me based on the premise, but when I read the Goodreads reviews, many of them cautioned that it's actually not really dystopian, that it's more of an issue book and really addresses the tension between the haves and the have-nots. And the haves are the wealthy clients paying for these babies, and the have-nots are the surrogates themselves. There's one central character that they focus on who's a surrogate, and she is a poor immigrant.
Okay.
So for me, issue books are dicey because I like to read them if the issue feels organic to the story and the characters. And some examples of ones that I've loved are An American Marriage, The Female Persuasion. The issues felt like they just were naturally part of the story. They didn't feel like an outside agenda that was being forced into the story where it didn't quite fit.
You don't like heavy-handed.
No, I don't like heavy-handedness. So
right.
I'm a little cautious about this one, but I would like to give it a try. And I've also heard that it becomes pretty page-turning by the end of it, which I do like.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a whirl. And that was The Farm by Joanne Ramos, coming out May 7th.
Okay.
What is your next May book?
My next one is called Rules for Visiting by Jessica Kane. It also comes out May 14th, which seems to be a big drop date.
Yep.
My sense of it is it's going to be a quieter novel, maybe brain candy. It's about a middle-aged woman trying to reconnect with four friends from her past. So she's going to step away from her real life and go and see these four women who were all played important roles at different points in her life. The word humor is used in the synopsis, which will be great if it's the right kind of humor.
Right. It's always tricky.
Exactly. But I feel like I don't want to jinx anything, Sarah, but I'm going to say maybe an Anna Quinlan kind of vibe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's midlife.
Yep.
What am I doing? Could tie back to the essays you were talking about.
I Miss You When I Blink.
Yes. So I'm hoping it's going to be relatable, and I feel like it's going to be a little bit more introspective, less action, less plot, but without being too heavy. So that's The Rules for Visiting by Jessica Kane on May 14th.
And I will let you vet that for me. And if, in fact, it really is like Anna Quinlan, let me know.
I know. Wouldn't that be fabulous?
Yes. All right. So my last May pick is called Out East by John Glenn. It's coming out May 14th, and it's a debut memoir. So here I go with nonfiction again. I did not look at the breakdown of all my genres when I was putting this list together. I was just picking each individual book I was most excited about. So it happens to be a lot of nonfiction right now. Anyway. So John Glenn, when he was 27, did a summer share house in the Hamptons with about 31 other people also in their 20s. And let me tell you, so I've done one of these, actually more than one of these. It's a lot of partying, but also very deep friendships can happen because you're living in this house with the same people every single weekend for a couple months, and you're with them 24/7 when you're out there. So this memoir is about the friendships he made and also him really coming into his own. And I'll explain more about that in just a second. Tyler Goodson, back to Tyler Goodson again, gave it 5 stars. And Mary Laura Philpott, the author of I Miss You When I Blink, shared it on her Instagram stories that she really liked it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To me, this sounds like a cross, actually not a cross, but sounds like the Bravo reality show Summer House.
I was just about to say, okay, this sounds like the Summer House.
Right. But with a deeply heartfelt storyline about a young man really struggling with his sexuality amidst all this partying and eventually coming out of the closet. And that's not giving away anything. That's in the synopsis of the book. In my mind, it's like if Stephen McGee from Summer House had struggled with his sexuality on the show and come out on the show, that might be this memoir. Stephen, I think, was already out prior to Summer House coming on. He is my favorite character, and he's not on the new season. It makes me so sad. Anyway.
I haven't watched that one. I watched maybe the very first season, and then for whatever reason, I didn't follow through on it.
Well, I mean, it is utter trash, but...
Yeah. But hey, I love utter trash on TV. I love it.
So I'm getting the feeling that this memoir is, despite the fact that it's set in a completely debaucherous setting, that it's a really heartfelt story and a serious story, despite all the partying and the crazy stories that go on. And one Goodreads reviewer said, and I liked this little comparison, it said, Joan Didion meets the real world.
Oh.
And multiple Goodreads reviewers also said that it will make you laugh and cry on the same page. And I love books like that. Maybe like a little bit David Sedaris. Kind of make you laugh and cry on the same page.
Right.
Anyway, I also did read the first couple pages of this, and I really liked the writing. So I'm hopeful. And that is Out East by John Glenn, coming out May 14th.
Okay. Well, my last pick is I'm going to be once again, Sarah, vetting for you.
Yay.
I know, because this author, I'm pretty sure this is when we realized we were reading twins. It's Melanie Benjamin.
Yes.
And her debut, Swans of Fifth Avenue, we absolutely loved that book so hard. Her next novel, I didn't like so much, so I'm a little hesitant.
I didn't finish her second novel.
You didn't?
No, I didn't even finish it.
I did, and I think I gave it 2 stars. I thought it was okay. I didn't love it. But on May 21st, her new book, Mistress of the Ritz, is coming out, and that's Melanie Benjamin, and it's historical fiction. Again, it's set in World War II, and it is based, I'm going to say probably loosely, on the American wife of the director of the Hotel Ritz.
Is that in Paris, the Hotel Ritz?
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's set in World War II, and you know, once the Nazis move in to invade France, they set their headquarters up at the Ritz.
Oh.
Yes. So suddenly this hotel that has seen everyone from Hemingway to Coco Chanel living there is headquarters for the Nazis and high-ranking officers. I want to say either Goebbels or Goring stayed there. And the book is just about how this woman works against the Nazis throughout their stay there.
And I should say that for this author, Melanie Benjamin, what she does and what she's done in 3 novels now is take real life events and write. By real life events, they're somewhat gossipy real life events, right?
Right.
Kind of involving society or that kind of thing. The Swans of Fifth Avenue was about Truman Capote and his swans, who were the Fifth Avenue socialites of New York City.
Right. Oh, gosh, that book was so good.
So good. I know. Oh, my Lord. So she fictionalizes these real stories. So if you like that kind of thing, she would be a good author for you to try, and definitely start with Swans.
Right. Absolutely.
Although if you start with Swans, the only place to go is down.
That's true. And I'm sorry, I have to correct myself. Swans was not her debut.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, okay. That's when we discovered her. She wrote The Aviator's Wife.
Oh, wait a second. I read that.
It really stuck with you, huh?
Swiss cheese memory. I can't tell you one thing about what it was about, but I read it.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to let you vet it for me. It sounds totally up my alley if she delivers.
Okay.
And that was The Mistress of the Ritz by Melanie Benjamin. And when was that coming out?
May 21st.
Perfect. All right.
That's all our books.
That's a lot, though. And before we go, just like we did in our winter preview, we are going to challenge ourselves to each pick our number one book we are excited about for April and May. And I've already cheated because I have a tie.
Well, I'm going to cheat too. So
okay,
there you go. This is why we're so good together.
Yeah, we make our own rules.
That's right.
So my tie is between I Miss You When I Blink by Mary Laura Philpott, because I've already read it and can vouch for it, and Southern Lady Code by Helen Ellis, both nonfiction.
Well, I love that. I think that's great. Yeah, for me, I cheated in a different way. I went with one subject, but two books from my list. So
you have a pairing.
Right. It's a pairing.
It's not cheating. It's a pairing.
Good. Because I was just going to say, this is how I roll, right?
Right.
I don't pay attention to the rules.
No.
The subject is women and religion, or women and the patriarchy, you know, take your pick. But it's the two books, The Ash Family by Molly Dechter and Women Talking by Marion Tweese.
Awesome.
I think both are going to be exciting and maybe polarizing, but at the very least, I think there's a potential for a lot of conversation.
Definitely. And wait, now that I'm looking at my books, they are kind of a pairing. They're both sort of humorous take on middle-aged women's lives.
Hey, women rule.
Yep. All right. So I know that was a lot to take in. We will have links to all the books that we shared, as well as any other books we talked about this episode, in the show notes. And I will be publishing my most anticipated books of spring 2019 blog post tomorrow, which will contain some books we talked about today, but even more books that we did not talk about today. So keep your eye open for that. And next week, I will actually be taking a week off from the podcast. I'm going to be spending some time with my family, and I will be back the week after that with our second author we've ever had on, Lindsay J. Palmer, who is the author of the novel Otherwise Engaged, which came out in late February. Talk to you next week. Thanks so much for listening to Sarah's Bookshelves Live. You can find show notes with all the books mentioned in the episode, purchase links, and linked timestamps at sarahsbookshelves.com/podcast. And that's Sarah with an H. I'd love to hear your comments, feedback, and suggestions, especially since we're just starting out. Find me online on my blog, sarahsbookshelves.com, on Twitter at sarahsshelves, on Instagram at sarahsbookshelves, and via email at sarahsbookshelves@gmail.com. Happy reading!